Hey, everybody. Today on The Charlie Kirk Show, what will the Democrats do next? Are they acting like winners? And we also go through the 9 points of the press conference that are really important, brought to you by an article from Breitbart.com, our friends there. And we dive deep into all the evidence here exclusively on The Charlie Kirk Show. Thank you for supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Really critical episode. We dive into the evidence that everyone else is ignoring. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hello, everybody. Charlie Kirk here, host of The Charlie Kirk Show, radio stations across the country and on live stream. Yesterday, we streamed the entire press conference, or almost all of the press conference yesterday, with the Trump campaign team and their legal team. And look, there's been a fair amount of slander and attack, and I think unwarranted amount of criticism towards the Trump legal team regarding what they presented yesterday, which was evidence-based, focused on facts. And there are 9 key takeaways from that Trump campaign press conference that I want to go through. Joel Pollack from Breitbart.com, great guy, has a terrific article out that details the 9 key points from the Trump campaign press conference. Now, before we get into that, most of the chattering class and the people on television, they're talking about none of this. They are instead focusing on just baseless accusations, talking about why you should stay home for Thanksgiving. Front page of the New York Times today. Plea to Americans, stay home on Thanksgiving. We're going to get into what I learned reading the New York Times today. You can actually learn a lot of where the left is going and their next moves by actually reading the New York Times. But there was a lot of substance yesterday. Rudy Giuliani laid out 9 points that most of the activist media probably was not aware of, but they have no interest in actually uncovering voter fraud. As we mentioned yesterday in our live stream, there's a new whistleblower out in Wisconsin, a woman named Susan, who treats developmentally disabled patients. In Wisconsin, she has 20 clients, and she says every one of her 20 clients told her that they were either pressured to vote for a Democrat, Joe Biden, or they had a vote cast for Biden before they ever had a chance to see the ballot. This is a woman who treats developmentally disabled patients. She said, I haven't been able to see my patients in person since March because of the virus. But right after the election, one of my clients said that he voted for Biden but didn't want to. He told me that he said Biden won because Biden would make his Social Security payments go down. He was sad that Biden won. I asked him why he voted for Biden, if he was worried about that, and he said that one of the helpers just came in and filled out his ballot for Biden for him. Bombshell voter fraud revelation in Wisconsin. To the best of our knowledge or the intelligence we have provided, no FBI investigation, no DOJ investigation. This is newstalks1130.iheart.com. Disability service coordinator blows whistle on vote fraud in group homes called granny farming. We have long been talking about that here, which would correlate with the 1,774% increase that we saw for people over the age of 90 registering during a pandemic in battleground states. So Rudy Giuliani laid out 9 key points. The first of which was observers were allegedly prevented from watching mail-in ballots from being open. This is the easiest point to prove of all the different allegations out there. And it's unconstitutional. Giuliani said that many mail-in ballots were opened without observers being able to check that they were properly signed, a key protection against fraud. Those votes, he said, were, quote, null and void. especially where the envelopes had been discarded, making recounts useless. I think we have sound here of Rudy Giuliani mentioning this, and this is point one. Play tape.
The reality is that we are now at a count of 682,770 ballots for which we have affidavits that there was no inspection of that ballot at the time that it was entered in the vote. It was a mail ballot. Mail ballots are particularly prone to fraud. We were warned about that by Jimmy Carter, President Jimmy Carter, and Secretary Baker in a report about a dozen years ago, in which they said that mail balloting is particularly susceptible of fraud, that we should very carefully consider ever doing it.
Point number two, allegedly unequal application of the law in Democratic counties. Again, we're reading from Breitbart.com from my friend Joel Pollack. He's terrific. And it was just a really organized way to put the press conference in a list. It's really well done. And Joel's a lawyer. He's a great guy. In Pennsylvania, whose state Supreme Court created new relaxed voting rules before the election, Giuliani alleges that absentee votes in Democrat counties were allowed to, quote, cure defects in their ballots, while voters in Republican counties, which obeyed the state law as written, were not. Do we have tape that matches up with that? Play tape.
In Pittsburgh and in Philadelphia, if they noticed that there wasn't an inner envelope, they'd contact the voter and allow him to vote again. Or if he didn't fill it out completely, or if he made a mistake and didn't sign his full name, he was allowed to cure it. There is no such provision under the law of Pennsylvania. The Democrat Secretary of State made that up in order to maximize the votes in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and to minimize the votes in the other parts of the state. Clearly illegal, clearly voter fraud, easily provable, hundreds of witnesses, maybe thousands.
Number three, voters allegedly arrived at the polls to discover other people had voted for them. This is a very big deal. You think people just forgot they had sudden memory loss? Giuliani said that many provisional ballots cast in Pittsburgh were submitted by people who showed up to vote in person only to be told that they had already voted. This is in Allegheny County, which conveniently took the night off from counting votes because they said they had a skeleton crew, and then they stopped counting votes because of administrative reasons. Play tape.
Why did it happen 15,000 times that people in Pittsburgh walked in to vote and they had already voted, according to the Democrat election machine? Did they forget that many people with bad memories in Pittsburgh? Or is the following correct? That as witnesses will testify, they were instructed by the Democrat bosses, when they had a ballot in which there was no one registered, just assign it to somebody.
And Rudy said very clearly that Democrats had filled out the absentee ballots for other people, hoping they would not show up. That should be a way to connect directly to the interception of the ballot, the filling of the ballot, and then being able to see who actually did that. Now, one of the biggest frustrations with this list is we're going through the nine key points from the president's campaign conference yesterday on voter fraud, is that if this Trump legal team was the Bureau, this would go a lot quicker and a lot easier. For example, the FBI or the Pennsylvania authorities, the state sheriff, whomever has jurisdiction over this in Pennsylvania, they could subpoena camera footage, they could subpoena mail records. It's a lot harder to do this through the civil process. But because the FBI and the Department of Justice is completely disinterested in looking into voter fraud on a wide-scale basis when there's evidence that actually shows that, then you have to go into the civil courts to do this. But if there was a real criminal investigation into this, of which there isn't, that we know of, then this stuff would be uncovered in weeks, if not days. This is a really easy one that the Trump campaign has uncovered. People show up to vote in person in Pittsburgh only to be told that they had been voted, that they'd voted already. He alleges that Democrats filled out the absentee ballots for other people. So you find those people if you're the FBI. You sit down with them. You find out exactly Where did ballots get sent to? Where would a ballot get sent to? You find a control group of 30 or 40 people. You go find the footage correlating to the 20 or 30 day window that the ballot arrives. And then you go from there. It's really not that complicated. There have been more sophisticated criminal stings that have operated in this country outside of this. But because we have a government that quite honestly was never staffed properly from a personnel perspective, now the civil courts have to go this. We're going through the 9 key points from the Trump campaign press conference. Very important, and the activist media has completely ignored it. Have the best Thanksgiving and Christmas ever with Good Ranchers free hickory honey holiday ham. Every new subscription gets a Berkshire hickory honey smoked ham for free. The Berkshire hams are 100% no antibiotics ever, 100% hormone free, and 100% born and raised in America. Hands down, the best ham you'll ever eat. Berkshire pork, which is a heritage breed, is known as the world's best pork. And the best part is 100% free with every new subscription. Sign up today and get yours before we run out. And as always, Good Ranchers is 100% American beef and chicken, and now pork. Steaks are always USDA choice and higher. Chicken is 100% all natural, no hormones added ever. Good Ranchers began with the standard of bringing top quality, 100% American-born, raised, and harvested meat to families across America. This vision was instilled into them from their grandparents that owned community grocery stores and believed in trust, charity, and family values. GoodRanchers.com partners only with American ranches from across the U.S. to bring the highest quality meat straight to your door. So go to GoodRanchers.com. That's GoodRanchers.com. It's the place to go. It's GoodRanchersOfTheNest.com. For the price of a family going out to dinner, you go to GoodRanchers.com. Use the promo code CHARLIE to save $20 off your purchase. GoodRanchers.com, promo code CHARLIE. Number 4, election officials were allegedly told to not look for defects in ballots and to backdate ballots. Rudy Giuliani cited an affidavit from an official who swore she was told not to exclude absentee ballots for defects and to backdate ballots so they would not appear to have been received after Election Day to avoid a Supreme Court order to sequester those ballots. We also have the affidavit from Richard Hopkins and also the thug from the federal government that tried to intimidate him to get him to basically walk back that accusation. And so basically, election officials were told directly not to try to find disqualifying factors when it came to these ballots. Again, if we had a Department of Justice that had any interest in election integrity, these would be investigated as swiftly and as quickly as the Jussie Smollett and the Bubba Wallace hoax. Remember when Jussie Smollett came out and said that two people wearing MAGA hats in negative 20 degree weather in Chicago in January at 2 a.m. came with a rope and a noose when he went to get Subway, came up to him and said, "This is MAGA country," threw the noose around him, trying to allegedly kill him. He goes back to his apartment, calls the police. The police walk in. He still has the noose around him. And they first ask, "Why do you still have the noose around you?" He takes the noose off. And then Jussie creates this complete fictional narrative. Kamala Harris and many other celebrities come to the defense of Jussie Smollett and Cory Booker as well, if my memory serves me, both Cory Booker and Kamala Harris. Jussie then goes in front of Robin Roberts. I believe that's who it was. She's a very well-respected former Chicago journalist. We'll get a fact check on that as well. When he cries and he says it's so hard to be a gay black actor, basically manufacturing a victimhood narrative. We sent in federal agents. We sent in investigators from every single corner of the country to go investigate this. Anyone, including myself, that called BS and nonsense on this entire charade was ridiculed, had our posts censored on social media. And then it comes out that Jussie Smollett actually hired two Nigerian brothers who were drug dealers to manufacture and stage the entire thing, didn't pay them in cash, instead gave them a check. The only thing that was missing is in the memo line, it didn't say mugging supplies. And so we had a really quick and swift investigation into the fictional escapades of Jussie Smollett, who allegedly was trying to be murdered in the streets of Chicago, where two MAGA hat wearing people at 2 a.m. said this is MAGA country. And I could tell you, as someone who grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, as soon as I heard that, I said, he's lying about something. We just don't know how big the lie is. And it turns out the entire thing was false. It wasn't even close to being true. Remember Bubba Wallace, the black NASCAR driver who thought that he found a noose in his garage? Shows up to his garage. Allegedly, it was a new garage he's never used before. He's never seen a garage where you actually have to pull it down before. Says that it's a noose that someone tries to stage for him. They do an entire walk around the NASCAR track where they, against racism, Bubba gets all this attention. We sent 13 FBI agents almost instantaneously, either 12 or 13, to go look into this. And they determined that the noose predated Bubba Wallace and that no one was trying to make Bubba Wallace feel intimidated. Bubba really never apologized. And instead of trying to actually go to the facts, not make a big scene about it, we then had an entire conversation about, oh, how terrible this all was. And as a result, the NASCAR banned the Confederate flag. Again, I'm not exactly pro-Confederacy. I had family members that fought on the Union side of the Civil War. But the point is that we had a dramatic cultural, criminal, civil, multi-institutional pressure campaign to look into whether or not Jussie Smollett and Bubba Wallace were indeed victims of the alleged rise of the KKK in our country, all of which was just completely baseless. But we can't get a couple federal agents to show up in Allegheny County and to look into the hundreds of affidavits that Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell and Jenna Ellis and the Trump legal team have now civilly compiled. Imagine how much information a criminal investigation could actually warrant into this. But we don't do that. And we're going to try to explore why. It's never too easy to start gift shopping for the holidays, especially because today you can save big on a gift they'll use every day, Raycon wireless earbuds. With seamless Bluetooth pairing and a comfortable noise-isolating fit, you can start listening right away and keep listening for hours. So this Christmas season, get them something that they can use for calls or music, for work or play at home or on the go, or pick up a pair yourself. Trust me, you're going to use them every day. Go to buyraycon.com/Kirk today to unlock exclusive deals up to 20% off your first Raycon order. But hurry, this offer is only available for a limited time today, and you don't want to miss it. That's buyraycon.com/Kirk. Buyraycon.com/Kirk. They're amazing wireless earbuds. Buyraycon.com/Kirk. We deployed the FBI to go look into Jussie Smollett. We deployed the FBI to go look into Bubba Wallace. Why don't we deploy the FBI to go look into all the so obvious voter fraud that's been occurring across the country? Why don't we deploy the Department of Justice or the Federal Bureau of Investigation to look into the election fraud that has been happening in our country? We're going through the list on Breitbart.com. 9 key points from Trump campaign press conference on challenges to election results. Number 5. Ballots casting votes for Joe Biden and no other candidate were allegedly run several times through the machines. This would be a federal crime that would warrant a couple FBI agents, I don't know, turning up and just asking some questions. Who in the Bureau is being told not to do this? Who in the DOJ is in charge of this? Giuliani said that there were 60 witnesses in Michigan who would attest to ballots being produced quickly and counted twice or three times. He said that at a minimum, 60,000 ballots and a maximum 100,000 ballots were allegedly affected. Play tape.
And here's what they jointly swear to. That every ballot that they could see, every thing they could hear, these were ballots for Biden. When they saw a ballot, these were ballots only for Biden, meaning there was no down ticket, just Biden. Many of them didn't have anything on the outer envelope. because these ballots were produced very quickly, very swiftly, and they're estimated to be a minimum of 60,000, maximum of 100,000. Many of them were triple counted, which means they were put into the counting machine this way. Once, twice, three times.
That would seem worthy of an investigation. Let's go back in the time machine and look at the clip of Jussie Smollett. Why is it that when Jussie Smollett acts like this with Robin Roberts, he gets an FBI investigation? Or when Bubba Wallace does that? It seems to be a very disturbing pattern here, which is that when you actually want to look into election integrity, the authorities don't do it. Now, interestingly enough, when there was alleged voter fraud that benefited a Republican in North Carolina in the 2018 midterm elections, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the state authorities, the police, everyone was involved. Why? Why is it that when there was voter fraud that might have benefited a Republican, never was proven, but I'm open-minded to anyone cheating because that's the stakes are so high. Of course, someone's going to cheat. You're talking about controlling the federal government. Of course, you're going to have people that try to cheat. You have people cheat in Monopoly games with relatives. You have people that cheat at poker. You have people cheat at everything. Of course, you're going to have someone that tries to cheat to assume the mantle of the federal government. Why is this such a hard thing for people to understand? That we have criminals, we have people that cut corners, we have people that drive drunk, people that cheat on their taxes, people that commit crimes. And yet the one thing that all of a sudden people just say, you know what, I'm going to now find a moral center, is when you go fill in the ballot or the process of counting the ballots, when then you have control of a $4 trillion a year federal government, the largest and greatest army military ever created in the history of the planet, and 330 million people. That's that. Now, all of a sudden, we're supposed to believe that the criminals just take that one off. And so the FBI and everyone got involved in this ballot harvesting scheme that benefited a Republican. I believe it was in the 9th Congressional District in North Carolina back in 2018 that actually resulted in a revote and the Republicans never actually being able to seat their candidate. Isn't that something? That when Republicans and conservatives get accused of doing voter fraud, the whole country shuts down, the media covers it. In fact, we have piece after piece here from The Atlantic and The Nation and The Vox, Vox.com, that says they're basically saying, of course, we're going to look into voter fraud because the Republicans here cheated. And yet now we have 9 serious examples of Rudy Giuliani mentioning voter fraud here, piece by piece. And the DOJ, any sort of state authorities, election integrity units, county supervisors say, sit down and shut up. Joe Biden's president. Didn't you know that the media said it? Stop looking into it. We'll go to number 6. Absentee ballots were accepted in Wisconsin without being applied for first. Giuliani noted that Wisconsin state law was stricter regarding absentee ballots than most other states. Yet allegedly, 60,000 absentee ballots were counted in the Milwaukee area and 40,000 in the Madison area, which would explain the inexplicable differential that's happening in Dane County that we have here. Dane County is the smoking gun. If there was a criminal unit that actually cared about our country, they would do something about it. Without having been applied for properly by voters who cast them. Play tape of Rudy Giuliani right here.
Wisconsin, when you look at their constitution, almost seems to not like absentee ballots. They state it's not a right, a privilege. And they have very, very strict procedures. And the strict procedure says that you can't be given an absentee ballot. You have to personally apply for it. It's illegal, basically, to solicit a vote. So there are 60,000 ballots in Milwaukee County and 40,000 ballots in Madison that as far as we can tell, and this is why we're auditing, because we have very good information, that the numbers are going to come out about here that don't have applications.
So that would explain something that we found on our own here on the Charlie Kirk Show through our own data analysis, and also just using logic and common sense. How is it that Obama in 2008 got 202,000 votes in Dane County? Obama in 2012 got 215,000 votes. Hillary, 217,000 votes, despite a little bit of a population increase. And all of these, the margin that Biden got far outpaces the population increase. But Biden in 2020 got 260,000 votes. Well, Rudy just said it. There's 40,000 absentee ballots that were submitted in Dane County, Madison area, that were never requested. And the interesting number is that Trump increased his margin by 7,000 votes, and yet Biden increased it over Hillary. Huh, interesting. By 43,000 votes. The very same number that now independently correlates with what Rudy Giuliani has been saying. And so now we're connecting many different dots of how we are being lied to. And by the way, this Dane County example, if I was a federal investigator, I would have platoons of federal agents looking into this, and I guarantee you these people would crack like this, whether it be the granny farming, the intercepting of student ballots that were doing online learning at the largest university in Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin-Madison, 40,000 plus students, many of which converted online, whether it be older voters that were susceptible towards that. The New York Times themselves say that granny farming is a well-institutionalized practice. And in Wisconsin, again, we have a whistleblower yesterday that wasn't even mentioned in this press conference. If I could find the article here. Here it is. Where Susan says that 20 people that she oversees that are developmentally disabled were given ballots for them to sign that said that Joe Biden, they voted for Joe Biden against their will, according to Susan, in the Milwaukee area. This is the margin that Trump lost by. I mean, Trump lost, we'll get the exact number what he lost Wisconsin by, but those 40,000 votes that are just can't be explained by human logic, where there was no enthusiasm, no energy in Dane County, Wisconsin. Obama drew tens of thousands of people when he came and did his rally back in 2012. It was electric. There was kinetic energy. And that's one of the reasons why Obama increased his margin from 08 to 2012 in Dane County, is he focused primarily at University of Wisconsin-Madison. The only problem is Joe Biden got less youth support per percentage basis than Obama did, and the campus was a ghost town. So how can you explain this? Or Rudy Giuliani can explain it. That's how. He says independently, and I didn't expect him to say this, that absentee ballots were counted without being applied for, 40,000 of them in the Madison area. Well, there's your differential, plus a little cheating around the edges, a little granny farming here and there. Well, there you go. The final differential in Wisconsin was 1.630,000 to 1.610,000. About 20,000 vote differential. I'm reading this on the fly, trying to put the numbers together. 20,500 vote differential. So if the absentee ballot standards were applied like they were in prior elections, Trump wins Wisconsin, like he did in 2016. Trump wins Pennsylvania. Trump wins Michigan. Trump wins Georgia. And they still can be applied. Now, maybe what the Trump campaign needs is a Jussie Smollett to start crying on television, and maybe a federal investigation would then be launched. Play tape.
I didn't.
If the attackers are never found, how will you be able to heal?
I don't know. Let's just hope that they are. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's not go there yet. I was talking to a friend, and I said, I just want them to find them. And she said, sweetie, they're not going to find them. And I just made me so angry because so I'm just going to be left here with this. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just going to be left here with like, so they get to go free. And
maybe that's how you get a federal investigation in this country. Maybe the Trump campaign needs to go hire a gay black actor that pretends that there was a hate crime against him because he couldn't vote, and all of a sudden a federal investigation will appear. He's completely lying to the American people, never got held accountable, of course. Kim Fox decided not to press serious charges. I think something was finally filed. The point is this. FBI agents ran to Chicago to look into this, and we can't get a singular bureau agent to look into Dane County despite all the evidence. Black Friday, Cyber Monday, one day only sale. Wouldn't you just rather work with a company who puts you on a pedestal every day? That's what you get with PureTalk, a veteran-run wireless company who understands what it means to serve. Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. If you're with them, you're overpaying pure and simple. PureTalk can easily save you over $400 a year. Listen, this is all you need. Unlimited talk, text, and 2 gigs of data for just $20 a month. I wouldn't be putting my name behind this if I didn't know that these were veterans that love their country, unlike other people that are in the corporate space. I can tell you, if you go over on data usage, they don't charge you for it. What a novelty, a company that actually puts their customers first. Switching to PureTalk is the easiest decision you'll make today. You can keep your phone and your number or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Grab your mobile phone, dial #250 and say Charlie Kirk. When you do, you'll save 50% off your first month. Dial #250 and just say Charlie Kirk. It's the password, secret word, Charlie Kirk. PureTalk, simply smarter, wireless. Number 7. There were allegedly overvotes, with some precincts allegedly recording more votes than residents, among other problems. Giuliani said there was an unusually large number of overvotes in precincts in Michigan and in Wisconsin, which he alleged was the reason Republicans on the Wayne County Board of Canvassers had refused to certify the results there this week. He also alleged that there was some out-of-state voters in Georgia of people who had cast votes twice. I completely believe that. Do we have tape there of Rudy playing that? Let's play tape.
Well, in Michigan and Wisconsin, we have overvotes in numerous precincts of 150%, 200%, and 300%.
300%. Number 8, voting machines and software are allegedly owned by companies with ties to the Venezuelan regime and left-wing donor George Soros. Again, we're reading from Joel Pollack's article on Breitbart.com. Sidney Powell argued that U.S. votes were being counted overseas and that Dominion voting machines and Smartmatic software was controlled by foreign interests, manipulating algorithms to change results. Powell noted specifically that Smartmatic's owners included two Venezuelan nationals, whom she alleged had ties to the regime of Hugo Chavez and Nicolas Maduro. The legal team alleges that there was a statistical anomaly, such as huge batches of voters for Biden that could not be explained except as manipulation, which they alleged happened in the wee hours of the morning as vote counting had stalled. Now, the companies have disputed these allegations vigorously. Let's listen to Sidney Powell.
With here and uncovering more by the day is the massive influence of communist money through Venezuela, Cuba, and likely China, in the interference with our elections here in the United States. The Dominion voting systems, the Smartmatic technology software, and the software that goes in other computerized voting systems here as well, not just Dominion, were created in Venezuela at the direction of Hugo Chavez to make sure he never lost an election after one constitutional referendum came out the way he did not want it to come out.
And interestingly, why would the New York Times all of a sudden put a story about Venezuela on the front page of their newspaper? What do you think? See, nothing that the New York Times puts on the front page of their paper is by accident. They say that this is all the news that is fit to print. They do have Trump targeting Michigan employed to subvert vote. That's how they cover it now. Invite state leaders to the White House in a brazen step. desperate gambit to force the election in his favor. But why would the New York Times, on 1A, all of a sudden have a story about Nicolas Maduro? Maduro cracks down on the leftists who once revered him. Oh, I see exactly what's happening here. What the New York Times is doing here is they're trying to condition their audience to say, no, you don't understand. Maduro's not a leftist. Maduro's a fascist. That's what they're doing here. That if there is any truth to this Smartmatic story that Sidney Powell is talking about, if there are truly Venezuelan ties, the New York Times and the activist media is beginning the narrative to say the Venezuelan government is not a socialist government. They're actually fascist like Vladimir Putin. And that's what this story says. The article says Maduro cracks down on the leftists who once revered him. No. Maduro is a leftist. And what they're trying to make it seem as if that Maduro is part of this alleged strongman international coalition that Donald Trump panders to, which is ridiculous. Trump has gone after Bashar al-Assad. Trump has had sanctions on Russia. This idea that President Trump goes out of his way to pander to strongmen across the planet is ridiculous. But the New York Times then says Maduro is consolidating power in restive Venezuela. Interesting how all of a sudden Venezuela gets mentioned so much in our elections. And then the paper of record has a story covering Venezuela in a negative light. What would it take for the New York Times to cover a socialist in a negative light? Trump hatred. That's what. The Georgia Republican Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, says he's going to certify the election results in Georgia, despite us learning that Floyd County, Fayette County, Walton County, and DeKalb County all had errors that resulted in nearly 1,500 vote gains for Trump just in the original canvassing. Now, in all, there were nearly 1.5 million Georgia absentee ballots that were sent out. Think about that. 1.5 million. We're supposed to believe that there isn't a 1% margin for error in addresses, people moving, dead voters, student voters. I mean, if you go to Emory University, let's say you go to Georgia Tech, let's say you go to University of Georgia in Athens, Georgia, and you voted back in the 2018 election, and then you move out of state. You move to Charlotte. You move to Birmingham, you move to Gainesville, you move anywhere. And they're sending out, they have motor voter in Georgia, which is ridiculous. Everyone in Georgia gets registered to vote instantaneously. These are Republicans that passed motor voter. Motor voter opens up for fraud in ways that it's hard to even comprehend. And so we have still not received answers of the total rejection rate for absentee ballots in Georgia. This is very important. If we had a rejection rate with signature verification that we had in past election cycles, President Trump wins. Yet Brad Raffensperger, who might be getting blackmailed, who is running one of the worst elections in the history of the country, is now arguing that this election is over in Georgia, despite the ballot signature rejections being completely different than from years past. Press conference yesterday, Rudy Giuliani and the Trump legal team went through fact after fact after fact. We've been going through it piece by piece, the entire list. Number 9, the Constitution provides a process for electing a president if the vote is corrupted. Jenna Ellis argued that the media has usurped the power to declare the winner of the election. She made the point, citing Federalist number 68, that the constitutional process of selecting a president has had procedural safeguards against corruption and foreign influence. Giuliani said that the campaign believed that enough votes were flawed, more than double the margins between Biden and Trump in key states, that the president has a path to victory. All we need is for the United States Supreme Court to intercede and to say that the signature verification, people weren't given access to do poll watching, overvotes, absentee ballot requests. And if the prior rules were enforced, well, then President Trump would be heading for a second term. And this is my biggest complaint with Republicans. Why were Republicans not contesting all of these measures the last 18 months? Why were Republicans so quick to surrender to the absentee ballot, mail-in ballot scheme of the last couple years? Let's listen to Jenna Ellis talk about Federalist Number 68 from yesterday.
Our founders were so brilliant that they anticipated this, that there would be corruption, there would be foreign influence, there would be attempts to manipulate the outcome of the election, especially with who they called our chief magistrate. I would encourage all of you to go home and actually read Alexander Hamilton's Federalist 68.
Federalist 68, again, the Federalist Papers were originally anonymously written between the founding fathers that were just talking about the process of which we should design a country and explaining the Constitution. There's also the Anti-Federalist Papers, which are equally as fascinating. I would love someone in the activist media to explain how the super elderly population in Pennsylvania have registered and voted at unusually high rates this election during the midst of a pandemic. We saw a 1,774% increase in voter registration for 90-plus-year-olds in Pennsylvania. When we actually dug deeper into how they actually register to vote, a large number of them register to vote online? Really? So how is that possible? Well, we're not allowed to ask those questions. And many of these super elderly voters had not voted in a previous election. Yet somehow in the midst of a pandemic, we are supposed to believe that armies of 90-plus-year-olds, according to the data that we have collected in Pennsylvania, most of which live in addresses that have high numbers of voters or high numbers of inactive voters. What does that mean? That means it's probably nursing homes or probably living centers. That even according to the New York Times makes it ripe for granny farming voter fraud. And just yesterday, a new story out. As we've mentioned, disability service coordinator blows whistle on vote fraud in group homes that 20 of her clients had people come in, fill out the ballots for them for Joe Biden against their will. No federal investigation, no FBI involved. Let's go back into time. Remember Bubba Wallace? When Bubba Wallace got 13 federal agents to find out if a piece of string in his garage was a hate crime, which was not true. But that deployed the FBI rather quickly. Play tape.
Have you seen ropes like that hanging from garages? Is that typical?
Don, the image that I have and I have seen of what was hanging in my garage is not a garage pool. I've been racing all my life. We've raced out of hundreds of garages that never had garage pools like that. So people that want to call it a garage pool and put out old videos and photos of knots being in their as their evidence. Go ahead. But from the evidence that we have, that I have, it's a straight up noose.
Straight up noose. He's lying. Bubba Wallace never was held accountable for that. And the FBI came in quickly and realized that he was making all this up. But he did get the FBI involved, something that we have not been able to do in our federal elections. How we elect our leaders is one of the most important things that we do in our civilization. You think about it, actually, it's one of the most, if not the most important things we do in government, because if you elect awful people, then you're going to get awful government. And if you have a banana republic way of electing your leaders, then you actually don't have say in your government. Your government is nothing but a mirage. Your government is just a Potemkin village. And I am alongside 70 million people that have lost complete and total faith in how we do elections in our country. And here's a real consequence. It's going to be really hard to win these Georgia Senate runoffs because a lot of Trump voters aren't going to turn out because they're going to say, well, my vote won't matter. They're just going to steal my vote or they're going to cancel my vote out with fake ballots. Democrats want the distrust. Democrats want us to continue to dive deeper into this, and then they're just going to say baseless allegations, even though there's so much evidence. It would take 5 hours of live streams to go through all the evidence here, and we've been through it. And they want no conversation, no dialogue, no discourse whatsoever around any of it. And when you have 70 million people that then lose complete and total faith in how you elect your leaders, they're going to lose faith then in the system that they govern. And what comes next there, we don't know. Anyone who tries to make predictions is lying to you. They're just guessing. And the Democrats think that they'll be able to power through no matter what. They'll be able to generate massive amounts of support, regardless, artificially or otherwise, to consolidate power and to tell you how to live their life. And the consequence of all this is a country that now will have to grapple with a system of elections where, according to whistleblowers, 20 developmentally disabled people are voting for them, a 1,774% increase in 90-plus-year-old voters in Pennsylvania. That civilization will crumble if we don't get this right. It's that simple. And the media thinks it's kind of a joke to talk about this stuff. We are diving into these numbers here. So in 2016, Hillary Clinton in Georgia versus Donald Trump, there were 246,000 returned absentee ballots. In 2020, there were 1.3 million absentee ballots returned. 10 times more absentee ballots returned. We should not be surprised that Democrats win when you have ballots being sent out all over the place, nursing homes that are vulnerable, and criminals that want to reassume power in the federal government. That should not surprise anyone. That is the most stunning number. 246,000 ballots in 2016, because we used to vote in person, which was secure. You know who's voting. And now in 2020, 1.3 million absentee ballots returned for this election. Republicans did very little to fight against it. Republican Governor Brian Kemp, Republican Secretary of State Raffensperger, and now we're just supposed to accept it. You get the Republican Party that we demand and deserve, and you see this across the country. You see Republicans doing lockdowns, Mike DeWine in Ohio, mask mandates, Iowa and Burgum in North Dakota, curfews in Massachusetts. Republicans are now running to the hills and not fighting. Why? We are not putting enough pressure on them. That's why. We don't get involved enough in the primary races. We don't do enough to hold these people accountable. We don't. And now we're seeing in Georgia, they're saying we're going to certify the election results now. A Supreme Court decision or a federal court decision could overturn that, and they should. When you have 1.3 million absentee ballots that are flying all over the place, don't be surprised if 40 or 50 or 60,000 of them are fraudulent, weren't filled out by the person who said they were, as we now have evidence for in Wisconsin, where a developmentally disabled worker comes out, blows the whistle, completely ignored. Here I have the New York Times. I flipped the New York Times, and unless I missed something as I read it, nothing in regards to how developmentally disabled people have ballots being filled out for them. Here I have the Wall Street Journal. Flip through it. Nothing. Absolutely nothing regarding developmentally disabled people having ballots filled out for them. 20 of them. No investigation, no follow-up, no federal investigation. Nothing. Because the fix is in against the American people. And you all know that. That there are very few allies that we have left that actually want to get to the bottom of what has happened here. It seems that if we do not fight this, the new norm will be everyone voting by mail. Postal service workers throwing away ballots, as we saw in New Jersey, where they tossed away thousands and thousands of pieces of mail. thousands and potentially hundreds of ballots, military ballots found in the garbage in Pennsylvania. And we're not supposed to ask any questions about it. And one of the tactics that the left achieves successfully is by convincing everyone to stay at home indefinitely, regardless of whether or not you've had the virus or not. And that's something that I still can't quite figure out. Why don't they have exceptions for some of these lockdowns for people that have already had the virus? If you had the virus, you have the antibodies. Now, some people say you can get infected twice. There is conflicting evidence about that. There are very rare cases where it seems that's possible. But generally, it looks like the people that have the antibodies, they're unable to get the virus again, unable to host the virus again. Millions of people have successfully survived the Chinese coronavirus. Why wouldn't you let them go live their life again? So they're just supposed to wait out this entire thing indefinitely? Or what about young people that are statistically much more likely to die driving to work or driving to school than from the Chinese coronavirus? But they just shut down schools again in New York City that even Dr. Anthony Fauci thinks is a ridiculous idea. But this is what happens when Republicans do not fight. When Republicans surrender to the relentless demands of the American left, like Raffensperger, the Secretary of State of Georgia, who has yet to explain the signature verification, the rejection rates, or how on earth in Georgia, who thought it was a good idea to allow 1.5 million ballots to be sent out and 1.3 million to be submitted? Who thought that was a good idea? Weak Republicans. Are Democrats acting like winners? Are they acting as if they won the election? Or are they acting as if they are beginning a long march through the institutions to make America in their image? You see, typically when you win, you're full of gratitude. You want to be magnanimous. You're excited. These don't look like people that are that excited. There was a moment of celebration, I guess. But now there's also this venom that has set in. Let's get Michelle Obama's tweet up as well. Michelle Obama, instead of celebrating, she said, "Lest us never forget the 70 million people who voted for the status quo of hate and xenophobia." Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez called for the nationwide blacklisting of Trump supporters. Pete Buttigieg backers and supporters and his team created the Trump Accountability Project to list the names and faces of anyone that supported President Donald Trump in any form or fashion. And now you have Democrats that are not acting like winners. Instead, they're acting like conquerors. Big difference. They're not acting as if they won something that is a contest that is rooted in fairness. They're not acting as if they won something that is a competition or a election for power for a moment of time. They're acting as if they are newfound colonialists, if I could use an example, of the American experiment. As if they have now stormed the beach, that they're close to power, and now we have to deal with the native citizenry. Michelle Obama said, "Let's remember that tens of millions of people voted for the status quo, even when it means supporting lies, hate, chaos, and division. We've got a lot of work to do." What does that mean? "To reach out to these folks in the years ahead and connect with them on what unites us." Right. It's all about uniting people after we destroy everyone we don't like. So there's a piece in the New York Times that says, "Reach out to Trump supporters. They said I tried." And this is written by Wajat Ali. And he goes on to basically say it was a complete and total waste of time to talk to Trump supporters. Like, how dare we do something like this? "In Ohio, I spent 90 minutes on a drive to the airport with a retired Trump supporter." So now I don't know what that means. He was a former Trump supporter or he was a retired person who's a Trump supporter. Copy editor of the New York Times didn't do their job. "We were cordial to each other. We made jokes and we shared stories about our families, but neither of us changed our outlook." Quote, "They'll never take my guns, ever," he told me, explaining that his Facebook feed was filled with articles about how Clinton and the Democrats would kill the Second Amendment and steal his guns. Perfectly rational thing to believe. I get to see that how a New York liberal could think this is like an astonishing claim. Although he didn't like some of Trump's tone and comments, he didn't believe that he was a racist in his heart. I'm not a cardiologist, so I wasn't qualified to challenge that. He was invited to the Aspen Institute. Yeah, that's a really good way to find out if Trump supporters are worthy of dialogue, and go to the Aspen Institute. Goodness gracious. I met a Trump supporter. The way they describe meeting Trump supporters is no different than when, like, Alexis de Tocqueville came to America and was first starting to catalog to Europeans kind of like what this new country of America was. Or an even better example would be kind of what the early explorers to the New World would catalog. I met this Trump supporter in the bushes. He was wearing a red hat. He went to church. He paid his taxes. And he loved his weapons. I mean, that's what he acts like, as if I found a Trump supporter, is what he says in this article. A singular one. He couldn't believe it. I was introduced to a donor who I learned was a Trump supporter. Wow, I don't know that many of them. So this was a discovery. She recommended I read Hillbilly Elegy, the best-selling book that has been criticized by those living in Appalachia as a glorified poverty porn promoting simplistic stereotypes about a diverse region. It's actually a great book written by J.D. Vance. I did my part. What was my reward? Listening to my Trump base chant, send her back, in reference to Representative Ilhan Omar. By the way, that quote is completely misrepresented. Trump says, go back to your country, fix those things, then come back here. They never talk about the second part. And then he says their speech would have fit well in Birth of a Nation, which is a KKK. It's either film or play or book, if I remember correctly. Anyway, Washat Ali is a playwright. He's not a very good writer. And then he recommends we all watch The Queen's Gambit on Netflix while downing your favorite pint of ice cream and calling it a day. So basically he says it's a complete and total waste of time. It's useless. He says this, don't wait. Okay, I'm paraphrasing. And then Wajit Ali does the job for me. Don't waste your time reaching out to Trump voters like I did. Instead, invest your time organizing your community, registering new voters, and supporting candidates who reflect your progressive values that uplift everyone, not just those that wear MAGA hats in local and state elections. Work also to protect Americans against lies and conspiracy theories churned out by right-wing media and political ecosystem. Basically, don't do that whole free speech, nuance, getting to know other people. Go organize and crush the opposition. That's what he's saying. Stop talking to other people. Go create the Red Army, and then we're going to go re-educate them. That's what he's saying. Wajit Ali. It's not enough, but it's a start. At least they're being honest about it. And it connects perfectly to this article by David Atkins, who wants to start concentration camps in America. Sort of. David Atkins, a newly elected California member of the DNC, declared recently that Democrats and liberals should start thinking in terms of post-World War II Germany or Japan in order to deprogram 75 million people. Poll, who is the most corrupt? The 75 million people he referred to as presumably Trump supporters. So these wouldn't be concentration camps, these would be re-education camps. Re-education camps are a real thing. They exist in China. There's over 380 of them. Re-education camps were constructed in post-war Vietnam, where 500,000 to a million people were there, re-educated. But then he says, no, seriously, how do you deprogram 75 million people? Where do you start? Fox? Facebook? And then there were lots of people that responded to, this is not your, David Atkins then said, this is not your standard partisan policy disagreement. This is a conspiracy theory fueled by a belligerent death cult against reality and basic decency. The only actual policy debates of note are happening within the Democrat coalition between the left and the center left, right? Again, like Wajit Ali said, and David Atkins, it's a waste of time interfacing with the other half of the country. Let's crush them and destroy them. This all confirms everything I've been saying for the last 9 months to a year, and people laughed at me, and now they're not laughing anymore. We are headed for a national divorce very quickly, and it's going to be messy. That's not a civil war. It's actually completely different. This is a messy, complicated, could be drawn out process of two countries that no longer want to coexist with each other. Not that you see, it's much more revolutionary than it is civil war. A civil war is two competing factions trying to argue about who's going to govern the pre-existing country. A revolution is instead what new ideas are going to rise to govern that country. And if you don't like that, well, then we might just separate. He says this. I mean, for Christ's sake, conservatives are literally giving themselves the virus just to own the libs. Not happening at all. They're dying in COVID wards, insisting they don't have COVID because it must be a liberal plot. People are going to figure out how to defend themselves, calling for a civil war. Right. According to his website, Atkins served as a volunteer in Howard Dean's failed presidential campaign. In the 15 years since, this is such, it's very coded terms. I haven't stopped organizing to beat Republicans, support progressive causes, and hold the Democrat Party accountable to its values, his website boasts. Recently, as a party activist, I've co-authored a successful revolution in California Democrat Party to embrace the Green New Deal. Just like Wajid Ali, go after the people you disagree with and crush them. Very Soviet of them. And it all ties into an article on the front page of the New York Times. I have long said on this program that if President Trump does not serve a second term, they will quickly indict him in federal tax court. Why? Because they've told us they will. That's why. If you think that this struggle stops at just whether or not we uncover voter fraud, you are mistaken. This is now a multi-decade, multi-generational struggle, and Donald Trump just happens to be the fulcrum point of all of it. Donald Trump just happens to be the moment that everything will be surrounding around it. And the way they will define us is whether or not you disavow everything he ever stood for, everything he ever did. Do you still associate with him? Or do you now want to become back to the Chamber of Commerce, open border, pro-China, pro-transgender, woke, BLM incorporated party? Front page of the New York Times says, New York fraud investigations expand to Trump tax write-offs. Talks about here about how he's being investigated by Letitia James and also the Manhattan Attorney General. Cyrus R. Vance Jr. They are not stopping. They won't. They indicted Steve Bannon. They went after Dinesh D'Souza, Roger Stone, Paul Manafort. And of course, they want to go after Wayne LaPierre as well. The National Rifle Association. This is now, in their view, their moment not to try to agree with people they disagree with. As Wajid Ali says, very clearly in the New York Times. Remember, this has to get through a sequence and a series of editors at the New York Times. Not some sort of fringe theory. The New York Times that publishes opinion pieces, they in some sense agree with the framework because we know, based on Barry Weiss's resignation of the New York Times, if you have an opinion that the opinion page disagrees with, then it won't be published and you'll get fired or you'll get run out of the building. And Wajid Ali says, publish in the New York Times. Don't waste your time reaching out to Trump voters like I did. Well, here's the consequence of this. There's only two ways of governing people. We've talked about this a lot on this program and on our podcast. You can govern people by force, or you can govern people by persuasion, reason, and talking. That's it. So you can govern people, or you can get to power by having better ideas. What does that mean? Well, talking with people you disagree with. I'll talk to liberals all day long. If leftists want to come on this program that have good intentions and want what's best for the United States of America, welcome aboard. I'll do podcasts, I'll do sit-downs, I'll do interviews. Come on board. We'll have conversation because speech is all we have. We are the speaking beings, as Aristotle says. Aristotle said, I should say. So the significance of this, and I hope you all understand that this stuff is not like a hurricane or a tsunami. It just goes away. We have now entered a new phase of American politics. And I'm telling you right now, and in 9 months and 18 months, all of a sudden people will start to realize it. When the venom, the intensity, the hatred that they have right now all of a sudden won't disappear. All of a sudden, the outrage machine will not just go away. You think that the New York Times right here that has seen a surge in subscribers fear-mongering around the alleged rise of the KKK, fear-mongering around the alleged rise of the Third Reich in America, you think all of a sudden they're going to say, oh, that's over now? Subscribers would be lost. Clicks would go down. No. They're going to now just not focus on Donald Trump, but the heir apparent to Donald Trump. They're not just going to focus on the heir apparent to Donald Trump, but the systems and the organizations and the media personalities and the funding sources and the corporations and the businesses and the allies. They will never stop because this is now their industry. And they will prosecute, they will criminalize, they will attack, they will persecute, they will silence, they will marginalize everyone they possibly can. That's their agenda. So we have been going piece by piece and bit by bit by the Rudy Giuliani, Sidney Powell press conference yesterday that was full of evidence, despite what the activist media has been saying. And I want to play tape of Kayleigh McEnany. I think it's a longer tape. It's like 2 minutes, right? I want to give Kayleigh McEnany the floor for one of the most comprehensive and should be viral clips of exactly how Democrats have been treating President Trump the last 4 years. Play tape.
Talked about and identified the real potential for fraud with mass mail-in voting. Also, something that I would note is just we talked a lot about transfer of power in the election, and it's worth remembering that this president was never given an orderly transition of power. His presidency was never accepted. In fact, before his election, we know Crossfire Hurricane was launched by Peter Strzok to pursue a baseless allegations about the president's ties with Russia. That's before he was president, trying to subvert the will of the American people. We know in August, Peter Strzok wrote a text message about an insurance policy against a Trump presidency, once again trying to silence the voice of the American people. In 2016, we know in October that there was a FISA warrant taken out to spy on the Trump campaign. And then the American people spoke, and they spoke commandingly in electing President Trump, despite all of the odds. And what happened after he was elected? You had 70 lawmakers say we're not coming to his inauguration, Democratic lawmakers. You had Elizabeth Warren saying we're going to attempt to obstruct the Trump transition by urging the Government Accountability Office to investigate the incoming Trump transition. In January of that year, you had President Obama have a by-the-book meeting where they talked about the Logan Act, using that act to go after Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. Just before the inauguration, you had BuzzFeed promoting and publishing this bogus Steele dossier that's been widely debunked. And then for 2 years, you had the basis Mueller investigation, which searched for collusion, found none, and exonerated President Trump. While in 2016, President Trump became the duly elected president, many sought to undermine him, discredit him, delegitimize him, and deny his victory. There were no calls for unity. There were no calls for healing. So while every legal vote is counted, let us not forget the inexcusable transition or lack thereof that President Trump had to endure in 2016 and 4 years into his presidency. Thank you, everyone, for the very good and substantive questions today. I don't call an activist.
I'm not an activist, and you've been taking questions since October 1st, and you just took about five, Kayleigh.
Just screaming at the press secretary of the United States because they didn't get to ask every single question that they had. Man, the press corps has just absolutely gone out of the barriers of decency in our country. And so Kayleigh McEnany was exactly right. Why is it that there were no calls for unity and healing from the left when President Donald Trump won the election in 2016? We do not know who has won this election. We don't. And if absentee ballot precedent actually gets enforced in Georgia, Pennsylvania, if we have some investigations into Wisconsin and spoiled ballots, we already have whistleblowers telling us that the developmentally disabled patients in Milwaukee, Wisconsin had ballots filled out for them. We already know what's happened in Dane County. We know that Republicans had a red wave. Now, mind you, all of these arguments would be a lot harder to make if Republicans did not make historic gains in the House of Representatives. These arguments would just kind of be baseless and fringe and not worthy of the time if Republicans didn't win convincingly in Iowa, Montana, Kentucky, South Carolina, North Carolina. If we didn't win by almost 4 points in Florida, which is a blowout in Florida, a state that traditionally is a 50-50 state, it would be a bad argument if we didn't win Beverly Hills. It would be a bad argument if we didn't win the Rio Grande Valley in Texas. It'd be a bad argument if we didn't win 27 out of 27 toss-ups. It'd be a bad argument if we didn't flip Michelle Steele and Young Kim in Orange County. It'd be a bad argument if we didn't win Texas convincingly, which we did. But it's actually a really good argument. And their argument is awful. Why is it that Democrats lost up and down the ballot? Why is that Democrat senators got crushed when they thought they would win? But it just so happens in 4 to 6 select metro areas that stopped counting, and they said, we have a skeleton crew. I'm sure they had a skeleton crew. They're trying to get skeletons to vote. That we're supposed to believe, with no questions being asked whatsoever, now whistleblowers are coming out with 100 different signed affidavits that there was no voter fraud. So people say, what's the path forward? The path forward is actually very simple and clear. Get a court and a judge to see it the way Now, we all see it, which is factual and based in evidence, demand a revote or toss out the ballots that are spoiled. Or the judge can say any ballots that then had different standards in 2016 should get thrown out. And I also want to thank those of you that are supporting us on the live stream at charliekirk.com/support. Your support really helps us, keeps us going in an amazing way. I want to say thank you to a couple people. Alyssa from Maryland, James from California, charliekirk.com/support. And I get all of your questions here, freedom@charliekirk.com. Kathy from Arkansas, Denny from New York, Francine from California, Paul from New Jersey, and Kyle from Idaho. So people say, what next? What's the next step? The next step is that we need to get this stuff in front of a fair judge who can order a variety of different things. We don't talk about this enough. Judges have an amazing amount of power in this country, and I think for the worse, actually, at times. But in this case, a judge can say, well, why did you change the signature verification standards? And the judge can order a county to say, come back to me in a week and use the same standards you did in 2016 or in 2018 with the right overseers. That would change Wisconsin, just so you're clear, just so we're clear. And that's where some of these lawsuits need to work their ways up. Now, what would also be helpful to our argument and in front of court is if we could start getting criminal indictments for all of this. If all of a sudden, if the Bureau and the DOJ started to uncover what we have in front of us, sworn affidavits of crimes, Richard Hopkins, crime, no investigation that we know of from the federal side, from the criminal side. This woman blowing the whistle in Milwaukee of granny farming, the 1,774% increase in Pennsylvania and Nevada, which is just a pure stroke of criminality, no investigation whatsoever. The 9 points that the Trump campaign laid out yesterday, that would help our case significantly. If the Bureau and the DOJ did their job, or one of these state agencies actually looked into this and was able to find some voter fraud, a cash for ballot scheme. In fact, we have a piece here. I want to see if I can find it. They got so much stuff here. Where's that Federalist piece? It's really, really good. Got the New York Times all over the place. I got way too much stuff here. Give me 1 sec. It's really a good piece. It was a news article that, of course, the activist media didn't cover. Why does the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times not put it in there? I have it here somewhere. It's about a cash for ballot scheme that was uncovered in Nevada. Here it is. I found it. Ha ha. In Nevada, a corrupt cash for vote scheme is hiding in plain sight, the Federalist. And what it has here, it says the GOTV effort in Nevada was blatantly criminal. And I'm a little skeptical at first, but I trust the Federalist a lot, so I kept reading. And it said, Nevada Native Vote Project posted on November 3rd at 6:29 p.m. McDermott and Owahi voters dropping off their ballots and picking up their gas cards. And literally being posted on Facebook is, it's literally two different, I couldn't design the smoking gun. You literally have hands exchanging a ballot for a gas card. I mean, they posted the picture. This is a crime. It's a federal crime, punishable up to 2 years in prison. In another Facebook post, a spokesperson for the Reno Sparks Indian Colony, Bethany Sam, appears on video inside a polling place offering T-shirts, stickers, jewelry, and thousands of dollars in gift cards to voters. Some of these items appear to be part of a raffle, which Sam says voters can enter in person or by emailing or texting a picture of their absentee ballot, while other items are offered to anyone who shows up in person and votes. Sam appears in another video wearing a Biden-Harris campaign mask with a Biden campaign bus behind her, talking about how important the Native votes are to swing in Washoe County. Biden, of course, won the county by 12,000 votes. In another video, she tells voters about Biden swag available at a GOTV event along with free Biden cookies. All these videos appear on the official Facebook page of the Reno Sparks Indian Colony. Why is the Bureau not in this Indian colony arresting all these people? I get that they're a sovereign nation, but this is a federal election that we're involved in. You're not allowed to break federal law in a federal election, even if you're a sovereign nation. It says here, too, on the Nevada Native Vote Project, how is the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal? No one's covering this. We're headed for a very dangerous place, everybody. I'm telling you, you can't have this stuff go so clearly in front of you and uncovered by the media. People are going to explode soon. I'm telling you. And everyone's ignoring it. It's so incredibly disappointing. following the taxpayer money, a lot of this was funded by taxpayers. Huh. And the Post includes a political map of Nevada and Wisconsin. Oh, there's a lot of Native Americans in Wisconsin, too. I don't know if you knew that or not. And so funding for the Nevada Vote Project appears to come from an umbrella group called Native Vote, which is an initiative of the National Congress of American Indians, which is get some taxpayer funding. More than half a dozen government partners are listed as NCAI's supporters page, including the Department of the Interior, the Department of Agriculture, Small Business Administration. Again, I'm reading the Federalist. I want to make sure I give credit for whoever the offer is. I couldn't find the name here. It's terrific. So this is just a cash for vote scheme, clearly in broad daylight, against the law, no bureau, no DOJ, no investigations, nothing. I want you to imagine if Turning Point Action was going in front of gun stores and handing out gas cards for ballots in front of gun stores. Do you think that the Washington Post would take a little bit of a concern about that? Do you think that if I was orchestrating a cash for ballot scheme in Florida or in North Carolina in red areas, do you think that if anyone was doing this, the Republican Party, yet the natives do this through taxpayer funding and no one covers this? Something's got to change or else this country is going to go through a national divorce. People are asking, what do you mean by a national divorce? They're emailing us freedom@charliekirk.com. I've explained this before and it's a longer explanation. I'm going to do that in my podcast. It's a much more nuanced thing, but we're headed for a hopefully peaceful separation where two Americas or three Americas or four Americas will exist. You cannot have what this in Nevada, where it's just cash for votes, violation of federal law. They're bragging about it, funded by taxpayers, and no one cares. No one investigates it. Eventually, the sequence of criminality without anyone being held accountable, eventually the sequence of let's not even talk to Trump voters, let's have re-education camps in our country, eventually you're either going to combust or you're going to then retreat. And I hope that this does not explode to the volcanic expectations that I have. And it's actually, I'm unbelievably worried where this is going. Because normal people, regular Americans, are not going to tolerate what is happening right now in our country. And what's happening is the widespread criminality from within our own government. That's where things start to get very, very dangerous. And normal people and regular people that work their tail off to do the right thing, to not even get speaking, not even get parking tickets, to not even get speeding, to people that follow the law, they see this Nevada cash for vote scheme. They see the granny farming that whistleblowers have now said exists in Nevada, in Wisconsin. They see the piles of dead voters that allegedly voted in these states. They see the 1,774% increase for older people, that 90-plus-year-olds that registered to vote in Pennsylvania, most of which registered to vote online. You're right. They see the National Democrat Party suggesting re-education camps for Trump supporters. They see the New York Times article that says, reach out to Trump supporters, I try. They also then see the candidate that they voted for, Donald Trump. What are they saying on the front page of the New York Times? That he might go to prison as soon as he's done with his term. Playing with fire, everybody. It's not good. I want to thank Anthony from New York for supporting us. CharlieKirk.com/support. Email us your questions. If I select your question, you guys get a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. It would really bless us and help us if everyone took out their phones and subscribed to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. We have exclusive material that will be aired there this entire weekend. What we're doing on this program is one of the few media operations that seeks to uncover the corruption and the cancerous rot that has plagued America. And it's made possible by all of you that support us at charliekirk.com/support and on the Charlie Kirk Show podcast as well. We are going to continue to cover this. We're on top of all of this. If you have questions over the weekend, we are going to have content. Keep on pouring through. I'm giving 3 speeches this weekend in Rockland, California. If anyone is interested, at the Destiny Church at Rockland, California. And I'm also going to Georgia soon for the runoff. So if you guys like what we're doing and you're frustrated, there's 3 types of people right now in the struggle. There's the enemy and the cowards. There's the fighters and those people that help the fighters. You might not be a fighter, but help the fighters. And we are the fighters here on this program at charliekirk.com/support. And I got that from the great Dennis Prager, actually, who describes things very accurately. They win when we give up. It's that simple. They have won nothing until we surrender. They do not win as long as we stay on top of this and we stay relentless and we do not lose hope because we know who's actually in charge. Thank you guys so much for your amazing support, getting behind what we're doing at charliekirk.com/support. If you want to come down to our amazing event in Palm Beach, we're going to have 5,000 of our closest friends. It's tpusa.com/SAS, tpusa.com/SAS. Big speakers will be there. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon. Thanks for all the support.